Here comes the rush hour. Luke, Libby and Dobbo for McCafe's smoothest, most delicious coffee yet. Try their new blend. It's made from 100% Arabica beans today.
Hey everyone, it's Luke, Libby and Dobbo and Margot Parker back with us this afternoon. The great man, Lounsey, Craig Lowndes, joining us ahead of the V8s coming to our neck of the woods this weekend. We had holidays for the last couple of weeks. We'll talk about those poor Thai boys that got stuck in the caves. And Margot has been nagging Corey for a couple of months to get a certain job done. She's going to bang on about that and get all angry at him. You're going to hear it if you listen to this. It's the catch-up and it's starting right now. Hey, a big weekend. Enough of the World Cup and all those sort of shenanigans. The real stuff starts this weekend. The Virgin Australia Supercar Championships coming to our neck of the woods are going to be at the Queensland Raceway. Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We've got the legend that is Lounsey joining us right now. Hello, Lounsey. How are you, mate?
Good to be in here. It's been a while since I've been in these studios.
Yeah. Can we just call it by its real name? It's called Willowbank. And I mean, you know, everybody says, you know, like Queensland. It's called Willowbank, mate.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Dobbo. When I was reading that Queensland Raceway, I was like, where is that?
It's Willowbank. It's Willowbank. Let's just call it its real name. They flash things up these days.
It's your home track, Lounsey, right?
It is our home track because all the Queensland-based teams have to race there or test there because part of the rules is that you've got to obviously nominate a test track within your home state.
Yep.
QR, Queensland Raceway, Ipswich,
Willowbank.
It is the only track here that's registered for supercars. So, yeah, look, it's are you going to start us?
I'd love to. I would love to be a grid girl. No, I want to be, but that's something that's going to happen. I'd love to be a grid girl for a day out there.
I'd love to see how you could stuff that up. All you have to do is wave a flag, but he'll stuff it up. Hey, Lounsey, because like I'm a Gold Coaster, mate, and when we have the GC600, you see all the chicks with the shenanigans that they get up to on the balconies. Are they more well-behaved at Willowbank than the Gold Coast? Like which crowd around
Australia?
Probably
not as pretty.
Around Australia,
which
crowd is up for the most amount of shenanigans?
Well, this weekend we don't have balconies.
Right.
We have banks
and a hill.
The grassy.
Yeah. So all that'll happen. But the shenanigans probably where we just come from, Townsville,
right?
Darwin, Clipsal or Adelaide. Yeah. There's a few of them.
Well, who's the best behaved then? If they're the biggest, you know, if they cut the loosest, who's the best behaved V8 crowd?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I don't know. They're almost as bad as each other.
You want to
just in different ways.
You send Ipswich into it. It's very easy to get Ipswich crowd excited. You bring a charger down, you cut a donut out there and a bit of smoke, and they go absolutely berserk.
Like you were joking, Lounsey, about Dobbo being mayor, but we heard whoever wins this race on the weekend is actually going to be crown mayor of Ipswich. Did you know that?
No, I don't. No, it's actually going to be quite interesting. But look, we've got a good history there and a good record. So, maybe we could be, travelling down south, being the mayor of Ipswich.
Well, you're a bogan, Margot. You must love this sort of stuff.
I do. I've been to lots of car racing events, but we love Bathurst and we love Gold Coast 600. But you have recently announced your retirement. We can't go past that. And you've come quick to jump out to quash rumours that you were pushed. Why did you retire, Lounsey? Is it just the end of the road for you? You've had enough?
It's a good question. I think
it's 21 years. It's a long time.
Yeah, this is
no small feat.
No, it's not. And I'm racing against 20
Something
years
year
younger kids than I am. Mm. So I'm 44 now, and as I said, I've had 20 plus years of the high level of where we're at. And look, I thoroughly still enjoy it. I do. It's something that's you've got to finish on a high. And for me, it was a great right time. Last year, everyone was trying to push me and kick me out of the race car, saying, you need to retire, you can't qualify, you can't do that. And then all of a sudden, in 6-8 months down the track, it's like, why are you retiring?
You can't win.
But yeah, look, it's a nice time, but I'm not retiring fully. Like, it's just a matter of just stepping down on one part of it, which is the supercar side. Still going to be a co-driver within the team, still going to be at racetracks, being an ambassador and doing other stuff, doing some commentary, hopefully get an opportunity to race overseas and do other things in GT cars. And other, like, it's just...
Uber.
I couldn't even become an Uber. I'll drive Dobbo down.
Yeah. Hey, seriously, I'm goofing about the Uber deal, but have you ever been picked up for a speeding ticket?
Touch wood, long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Next question, then. Have you ever been let off?
Yeah.
Well, that was what I was going to say. I've been let off. To be honest, it's... I'm just trying to think the last time I actually got booked. It was probably like 3-4 years ago. So like
that's solid.
But the good thing is like probably the reason why I haven't is because when we go to racetracks, I don't drive. So when I, we carpool with Jamie and Shane. It's either Shane or probably most likely Jamie drives.
Yeah.
So all the tickets are going to him.
I actually drove behind a guy yesterday who had a sticker on the back of his ute saying, take over me because I only have 1 point left. And I thought to myself, I need that sticker too.
And what about the fans, Lounsey? Are you going to miss that, mate? Because how many people you reckon around the country are sporting Lounsey tattoos?
Oh, there was actually one in Townsville where we just come from that actually got one over the course of the weekend.
So in other words, what you sign
her arm.
Right.
And she came back the next day and said, look at this.
Oh, fair enough.
That's love.
You are a fan favourite, though. And you're really good with the fans. Like, the nicest guy ever. Like, I've been down on pit lane a couple of times. You know, Corey was a V8 supercar ambassador. Mm. Got the chance to be down there. And I just didn't realise how much access the fans have to you guys to do that grid lane walk.
Yeah.
Like, minutes before you're about to get in a car and drive off and do the race. Like, it's fantastic access that the fans and the people of Australia have to you. And you just take it on so well.
Well, I think it's probably because the way I am, I'm an extrovert at race weekend, so I absorb like the energy from people, and I do. I love enjoying talking to people and interacting and mingling, and whether it's walking to the car or walking away off a qualifying or whatever it is, it's nice to actually have that interaction. Mm. Hence why we made a decision to announce the retirement. So we've got now 6 months to enjoy it. Like retirement's all about celebrating and celebration of what we've done, and so for me, it's like now we go to this weekend at QR. It's all about celebrating the weekend, and I get an opportunity to be able to do that now every round we go to until the end, which is Newcastle, back in or late or early December.
And we get a chance, as in the fans get a chance to say goodbye. So
I
that's
like that.
That's what it's all about as well.
Yeah, it is all about that, and I think it's also just to celebrate like what it is. Motor racing has been my life for half of my life, and it's really all about giving back to the fraternity and the category, which is supercars. And for me, it's as I said, I'm not retiring fully. I'm just stepping down from full time side of it.
Yep.
Giving back in other ways as we go into 2019 and beyond. Still do co driving at Sandown, Bathurst, and the Gold Coast, which, as you said, I'm going to be looking at the balconies more often now. So it's all that sort of stuff that just really is important to get that across, that I'm not actually stopping full time.
Yeah. Will you get some downtime? Because I know my husband retired and there has not been a lot of downtime. What do you do in your downtime?
Well, Lara's always said that when one door closes, there's many others open. And so now I think I'm actually going to be more busy next year. Maybe Corey's the same. It's like you're going to do co-driving. You're going to be an ambassador for the team. Same for supercars. Do some commentary.
Uber.
So, and drive.
Motocross, you're still doing a bit of motocross. I know you like your dirt bikes there. No more?
No, I do. And to be honest, Levi is, he's now racing dirt bikes. So, cool. It's something that is an interest. And, I don't tell the boss that often how often I do actually ride. But as long as I come back with all arms and limbs and legs, I'm fine.
Most of them. You only need the brake pedal.
It'd be so funny. Craig Lowndes has injured his shoulder. Oh, what axe character? No, he fell off a dirt bike.
Well, funny you say that. I did that 2 years ago. I broke my collarbone and I missed the 12-hour because of it. And of course, it all got hushed up. But, we moved. Move on, and it's great.
It's an expensive right foot it would be insured for, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Well, you can go check it out, that right foot and the rest of Lounsey this weekend. Tickets are available right now, ticketet.com.au. Lounsey, all the best, mate, on a fantastic career. All the best this weekend for perhaps your final time here at the local Willow Bank. But, mate, thanks so much for dropping by the Savo.
No worries. Thank you very much, guys.
Cheers.
Well, over the holidays, I spent a good portion of the time in Nepal.
Yeah, so cool.
We were heading over to Everest Base Camp. But after that, we went to Thailand for a couple of days to just relax. And, Dobbo, we were an hour from where the boys were that were stuck in the cave.
Wow.
And the most incredible part of this for me was...
It would have been a media storm over there because it's all the way red over here.
Margo. Mm. There was no news. Like where we were in Bangkok, there was no news. The only way I could get news on the Thai cave stuff was to get onto the Australian media.
Oh God!
And when you walked around town, and no one was talking about it.
Yeah, well, because for 5 days, it's all you saw on the TV, in the paper, on mynews.com.
I was checking the Australian newspapers every day. Mm. It was front page of all of the Australian newspapers. It was not front page of the Thai newspapers.
Wow. Okay, weird thing.
Why?
I'm in Calgary in Canada, and it was the lead story on the Canadian national news and the Alberta, which is the state that we're in, their lead story, and it was front page of the Calgary Herald as well.
Well, they were.
Why would they not be covering
it?
Well,
I'm telling you why. because it's a bad look for a country that has, like, there's so many people that have done cave diving who've gone exploring. If they think there's been a disaster, they just want to shut it down so it gives the country, it's dangerous or anything like that.
It was in the newspaper, so they weren't covering up the news, but it wasn't the front page of the newspaper.
What could be more important than that?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Was on the front paper?
Well, when you're flicking through the paper, the first story on the boys in the cave, and by this stage they were still in the cave, the first article on the boys in the cave was the fact that the England side, who were about to play in the World Cup, were going to pay tribute to them somehow before the game. It was incredible. And then you'd flick on to see what was happening back home in Australia, and it was sort of like almost wall-to-wall coverage.
Do they just not have the resources to cover it over there, maybe?
I don't know. Well, they covered everything else.
Mm.
I once did, like, I'm a scuba diver, and once I was in Mexico on holidays, and I go and organise a dive, and it was like $80 US to do a dive in one of these locations, and then it was $125 US to dive this other location, but it was rated as one of the top five dive sites in the world. So I went, I'm doing the $125 dive.
Mm.
They drove us out in a bus, which should have been my first
one. No, thank you.
We get out there, and it turns out it was a cave dive. I didn't know it.
Did you do it?
I did it, Dobbo. I've never been more scared in my life.
I was
going
to say, were you packing it?
And what happened was the guy that was leading the guy that did the cave dive, like the group leader.
Was he also the bus driver?
No, he wasn't. But you know what? Because I got out there and they gave all of the there was only Russians and Mexicans on board. So when they gave it, they didn't give the details of the dive in English. I didn't realise. When we got out there, the guy goes, okay, if you freak out, and some people will, just let me know and we'll return. Mm-hmm. But you have to travel in one line, and as soon as we got under, I had an anxiety attack.
It's like Chinese whispers. You have to tap on the diver in front of you to get to the message.
He was 13 divers ahead of me. I just had to suck it up. But I had a fair dinkum anxiety attack, and I felt for these boys because, like, I know how scary that was, and mine only was for 45 minutes. And when we finished it, we came back up from the dive, and it was supposed to be, like, I'd paid for two dives. Like, we were coming up to just change tanks, and the guy goes, I get out of the water, and he goes, oh, mate, we're just changing your tank over. And I went, oh, it's a little bit cold for me. And he goes, you're already in the water. He goes, we're changing your tank over. You've already experienced the cold. You'll be fine. You got your wetsuit on. And then I just went, I hated every second of that, mate. It was the worst experience of my life. I got out. And out of everyone on board, like, that was there, there was probably 40 divers. I was the only one that got out.
Oh, wow.
Biggest pussy you've ever seen in your life.
I wouldn't have got in the first place.
We clarified that.
You worked that out, Dobbo.
I pointed something out to Corey yesterday when we were driving in the car, and I used a bit of sarcasm when I did it, and probably was a little bit insensitive, but I've been asking him to do something for about 4 months now.
What is it?
It still hadn't been done yesterday. And so in my car, my cousin is a diesel mechanic. So I got him, it's a diesel. So I got him to tune the car and put an exhaust on it and, you know, all that sort of beef it up a little bit, I guess.
So
it's
you fit in around Cornubia?
Yeah, I drive a Toyota Land Cruiser and we tow a caravan with it. And so anyway, so people have been talking about getting it chipped and tuned and all this sort of stuff. So I jumped on the bandwagon, had it done. Anyway, there was a bit of a rattle in the exhaust, I'm going to assume, every time I hopped on the brakes. And it's been going on for a few months now. And Corey kept saying that he was going to get around to doing it. I said, I need to be fixed. And, you know, I offered to take it to like an exhaust shop. No, I'll do it. Just let me get to it. I've just been a bit busy.
If I was your husband, you'd have to take it to the exhaust shop.
Yeah. So he's like, no, because he's got a workshop because he loves cars. He's got hot rods and old cars and he, you know, he's a bit of a, you know,
bogan
stay-at-home mechanic, you know, in his off time. And so we've got a hoist in our garage. So I was like, it's easy. Just stick it up on the hoist, give it a knock and she's away.
Do you live at Bob Jane Teemer?
Well, pretty much.
Yeah, kind of. But
she's
anyway,
a daughter from one of them.
My parents owned a Bob Jane Teemer.
Really?
And I worked in it for 6 months. So I know cars and tyres and wheels and all that sort of stuff.
I love how you've whipped your poor husband. You were only an hour ago talking about how busy he is and how much time that he doesn't have anymore. And then when he doesn't do a meaningless task like
It's not meaningless, Dobbo, because every time I get in the car and drive it, it rattles and
what
it
you
makes
fix?
A
you
I get don't know there? How to fix it. So anyway,
she knows
so
how
I've
to
been
nag.
At him for I've been at him for 4 months. And last week I went out with my girlfriends to get some groceries when we were camping and they come with us and one of them pointed out and said, oh God, what is that noise? And I said, oh, I don't know, it's the exhaust or something. I've been asking Corey to fix it for ages. And then the other girl goes, well, my husband would have had that done within the day. Oh. So then I was like, yeah, well, I should get your husband to do it then. So anyway, we're driving yesterday. We go out for breakfast, last day of the school holidays, and the noise happens. And I'm like, oh, still haven't fixed that yet, eh?
You say to Corey.
Yeah, I said this to Corey. And he's like, oh, righto. He goes off.
He's all defensive.
He literally got defensive and reacted and blew my head off. So then I had I was upset. I said, it's not my fault. I've asked you to do it for 4 months. Well, I haven't had time and I've been in Sydney. I've done 5 out of 8 flights this week, blah, blah, blah. I've got to work a game again today. I get time. And I said, it'll take you 5 or 10 minutes. Just make time. I said, I'm really busy too, but I managed to do stuff as well. He's like,
I'm really busy too. I work too, but I've still got time to nag.
I've never met a bloke who works so hard around the house.
He is under the thumb.
Absolutely gives his life to his kids. Yeah. He also holds down 3 or 4 different jobs.
Thank you, Dobbo. You're talking about me, right?
No. And then cops grief. Margo.
I did. It's been 4 months. And
go on your backside, crawl under the car and do it yourself.
Subtle hints across to get him to fix it. And it took him 4 months.
Did he end up doing it?
He did it, and it took 4 minutes. he said, I'm just going to get under the car. Can you just sit in the driver's seat and put, you know, it into park and reverse and drive for me? I thought, I'll bloody drive over you in a minute.
He's going. He's trustworthy. He's more trustworthy than me.
But, like, really, how long do you have to ask? Like, I'm sure there's plenty of women out there that have asked their husbands to do something, and it's taken way too long. Like, fix the light bulb or change that, you know. That's the other one.
What?
The dog keeps getting out. So I've said, can you board it up or put something there so the dog don't get out? The dog keeps getting out. And he wonders why. I want to know, 13, 20, 17, what have you asked your husband or maybe even your wife?
Or nagged?
Nagged.
There's no asking going on here, Marco. Don't try and pizzazz it up at all. You're nagging is what you're doing.
Hey, what have you asked your partner or nagged at your partner to do that they haven't done? How long did it take? Was it 4 months?
The rush hour this afternoon, Luke Libby and Dobbo, Margot Parker here as well, who has been nagging her husband Corey for about 4 months, and it's finally worked.
They started out as subtle hints initially, and then I used a little bit of sarcasm, and he didn't like that.
Didn't you say to him that such and such's husband would have fixed it straight away?
Yeah. Well, so my girlfriend heard it and she's like, oh, my husband would have had that fixed in the first day. So I told Corey that didn't go down well.
I don't blame Corey for losing it at that. Like, if your missus said to you, Dobbo, that, like, if your missus goes, you know that Brian would have fixed that yesterday, like, no bloke wants to hear that. No bloke wants to get nagged either.
Maybe it was just the little push that he needed.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, just from a dude's perspective, when you start nagging a guy, you start sounding like his mum. And no dude wants to be living with their mother.
Ever.
And that's what that's how she's treating Corey, right?
Mm. Oh, well, let's see if I'm not the only one here. Karen from Merrimack's called in. How long have you been nagging at your husband?
7 years.
Oh, geez. To do what?
Just finish the renos on the bathroom.
That's all. Just do the reno on the bathroom. What
is,
are you
is
doing?
Is he a builder?
Hey?
I bought all the tiles and everything, but yeah.
You can only do so much, hey, Karen?
Yeah.
I got to say, man, I'm trying to stick up for dudes here because no one likes to get nagged, but, I mean, 7 years is pretty hard. what's his excuse for 7 years?
Oh, just too busy.
Yeah, well, he'd been flat out, the poor guy. Who, you're obviously married to the Prime Minister of Australia that he's that busy.
Mm.
What's he do that he's so busy?
He's a cabinet maker.
Yeah.
And, he does all that sort of timber work and stuff.
So the main part, the vanity and all that, the cabinetry and the bathroom, he's doing himself.
That's all done. It just needs minor finishing touches now.
Well, go and read a book. For crying out loud. Go tune into Scotty Cam on Channel 9 learn how to do it yourself. What's he been nagging you for,
Luke?
Hey?
We shouldn't have to.
Yes, you should.
We're the ladies of the manor.
Hey, thanks for your call. Sorry to hear about your husband, but he's obviously a very busy man.
We might have opened the floodgates here. Wendy from Tweed Heads, what have you been nagging about?
There was a funny noise in my car, and my husband's a mechanic. And I said to him, mate, there's something wrong with the car. And it took about 4 months.
Yeah.
And finally he drove it, and the brakes were on the metal.
Oh, see, simple fix. If he had listened.
It's not a good advertisement for his
garage.
Could have
just put new brake pads on instead of a whole new brake system.
I know. But then it was my fault because, you know, you should have told me it was that bad.
Absolutely.
I've been telling you for 4 months.
Hey, but isn't it funny, though? We had the cabinet maker who hasn't got a cabinet at home. Now we've got the mechanic who's got no brakes in his car.
Seeing a pattern here.
Hey, thanks for your call.
No worries. Thank you.
There we go. Another smooth show from the Rush Hour. Luke, Libby and Dobbo with Margot Parker for McCafe's smoothest, most delicious coffee yet. Try their new blend. It's made from 100% Arabica beans today. You can catch us weekdays from 3 on Triple M and Gold 92.5.